Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. From the book of Matthew, chapter number 8, I want to turn your attention there. Amen. Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord that we feel in this place. During the course leading up to this service, I felt like the Lord was wanting to do something special in this service, and I don't believe He's done yet. And I just believe like the Lord has got something to talk to us about today. Praise God. And so from the book of Matthew, chapter number 8, we're going to begin reading at verse number 28. The Bible speaks and says, "And when he was come down to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. And so the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their way into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to them, the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they sought him, when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast." Amen. And for a little while this morning, I just simply want to preach to you today, when Jesus comes to visit your demons. Amen. When Jesus comes to visit your demons. Hallelujah. Can we just pray here today? Lord of God of heaven, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that we feel here in this place today. Praying, God, that you would reach down and that you would touch and that you would help us here tonight. God, you know the needs. You know every situation, every circumstance, every going. I'm praying, God, that your spirit would talk to us and deal with us today. Father, we can do nothing without you, but we lean upon you heavily, leaning upon you, Jesus, for direction, for hope, for healing, for salvation, for victory, for deliverance today. Let your spirit be in action, O God, and we'll be quick to give you the praise and the glory in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Praise God. I don't know how long I'd been in church before, how many times I've read my Bible through before I realized that this particular situation, the Bible speaks that there were two that were possessed with devils that came out. We always hear about the demoniac there in Gadara and how that there was one, and that's the way that Mark records it as one. That's the way that Luke records it as one. But nevertheless, it is the same setting, the same structure, the same time frame, the same story. And we'll get into that here just a very little bit. But somewhere midway between the north and the south ends of this lake and straight across from Magdala was the village of Gergesa. And Jesus seems to have landed somewhere to the south of this village, somewhere around 16 miles to the southeast and maybe 7 miles inland from the lake. There was a better known town by the name of Gadara, and that's the one that Mark records. And still further somewhere to the southeast and about 50 miles from Gergesa was the city of Gerasa. And so it just says in history and then in this mapping area that this whole region was known as the country of the Gadarenes, which is spoken of in Mark 5 and Luke 8. And since Gadara was the key town with that territory extending to the east shore of a Sea of Galilee, it is often referred to as Gadara. And so Luke describes the plight of this wretched man. The Bible says that he was possessed by demons and that he wore no clothes and that he had been dwelling in the tombs. He lived in the suburbs. He was demented and beyond all of human help. Moreover, he had been in this condition for a long time, and his nakedness was a symbol of his condition. And so we know that he was cut off from all social contact, that he lived in the cemetery, which to him was probably the halfway house on his way to the grave. And when the Lord had confronted this individual, the Bible teaches us that the herdsmen went and that they went to the town, and they told the city of what had happened. They told the city of what had happened to their pigs, and how that they had been they had lost them into the sea, and so doubtless the owners are going to blame the Lord for this loss. And we also should remember that pigs were a very unclean animal there, prescribed in the Mosaic law, and the removal of this source of uncleanliness was as legitimate as confiscation and destruction of pornographic literature in a society trying to enforce decent moral standards. That's just how filthy that they were considered to be. Amen. And so as we get into this text here today, I believe that it is imperative that we understand who that the enemy is and all of the conditions, the powers that are present and prevalent and concerning with the enemy. The Bible teaches us that no man goes to war except that he first count the cost. Teaches us that we don't build a house unless we first count the cost and make sure that we have enough money to complete that which we have started, or that we are able to win that which we have begun in battle with. And so we understand that demons are distinguished from the fallen angels, some of which are ranking in Satan's hierarchy, and uniformly described as wicked spirits, and always depicted as vile and fierce and holy without pity, driven by cravings to seize and use human bodies. And once they take up residence in a human body, they invade the personality and become exceedingly difficult to expel. And so Paul gives us an insight beginning into what some of these hierarchies are. In Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 12, Paul writes and he says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And this here is an elevation of warfare. It is a rank of legions here. Principalities is simply the beginning of it. It is the first rule. It is the chief ruler, the magistrate. They are described as high-ranking governing authorities who are under Satan's control. And above that, we have the powers. And this is the Greek word exousia, which is the delegated authority. And they have been given authority from one that has the power to give the authority. And these are the ones that would rule over and have the head of all of the principalities. But above that, we have the rulers of darkness of this world. These are world rulers and princes of the age. And then beyond that, there is the spiritual wickedness in high places. This is in the heavenly regions. Amen. And I'm not interested in pinpointing or putting names upon different principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, or spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm not interested in world rulers and giving the names of these world rulers and calling them demonic and such. But I want us to understand that there is a spirit that is prevalent, that pressures, that oppresses, that pushes, that tries to thwart the agendas. And this is the reason, the entire reason that this entire world is on a decline instead of an incline. This entire world is heading towards a chaotic end. And you don't have to be on the news for very long before you begin to realize and understand that it is at a breakneck speed. And nobody would have ever thought that something such as a virus would be able to shut down not only a country, not only a continent, but an entire world within such a short period of time. And just for the record, I'm going to go on record. If you want to talk to me sometime or another, you're more than welcome to do it. But just for the record, I'm just going to say I do not believe that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. I believe that when the mark of the beast comes out, you're going to know it. You're not going to take it by accident. It's not going to be under a hidden agenda that you're somewhere or another going to be able to say, oh my goodness, I took the mark. Amen. That's not going to happen. It's going to be blunt. It's going to be in your face. Amen. Praise God. And you're not going to be able to sell, trade, or anything. It is a number, not a vaccine. Praise God. And so with that said, these are spirits that you and I are probably not going to come in contact with. And the reason that we're not going to come in contact with is not because that we are not good enough. But you must understand that you've got to go through so many levels in order to reach these higher levels that are set at forcing and pressing and oppressing world rulers. Amen. Praise God. And I'm not saying that we can't or that we won't. We understand that Daniel faced a lot of things. But you understand today that these spiritual wickedness and these rulers of the darkness are not necessarily concerned with us as individuals unless we exceed and get to a place. But even then, that will be in a delegated authority that will be given a rank or be given a mandate or a command to come down and to deal with whatever. Praise God. And so, but there are other spirits that you and I are going to face and we're going to deal with. Amen. And that we're going to feel the oppression of. And we will feel the oppression of these that I have already stated here this morning. Amen. But there are others that we are probably going to be more familiar with and more common with. And so Paul did not only describe these orders in his writings, but he also describes other areas of demonic activity. In areas that we will more than likely see it and that will affect us as the children of God in our day-to-day living. A lesser rank of devils that we might come into contact with and that we probably have come into contact with are those that are must possess people in order to fulfill their evil purpose and intent. And I have had, I won't call it my fair share, but I have had my dealings, and I'm sure that many of you have. Any church that is on the right path is probably going to come in contact with these at some point in time. Amen. Through just the cause of revival. And so these people are possessed, and they have a purpose and an intent. And one that is possessed with a demon, he is really powerless to deliver himself from its control and its influence. He can come to a church. He can reach out, for we see that even in our text that those that was possessed with devils ran unto Jesus. And that's one of the reasons that they would show up at our church is to be delivered. Praise God. And I pray and I hope that the church has and possesses the power to be able to do what is needed to be done. Praise God. Amen. Demonics. The demoniac that was possessed with a legion of devils. We see this. We see throughout the scripture that there were many others that was possessed with devils that were brought unto Jesus for deliverance. There was a girl that was possessed with a spirit of divination. I'm just giving you some examples. And we see that they were cast out. And the cast out demon loses all of his demonic respect. He loses his rank and his file. The Bible describes him, amen, as one that has gone out of a man walking through dry places and seeking rest and finding none. Amen. He has no more friends. Amen. Because he's been put out, amen, by a higher power. And so what does he do? He returns unto that vessel and he finds it empty and garnished and swept and clean. And this is the reason that we must stay full of the Holy Ghost. Let me just stop and interject this here this morning. Amen. That all of us, amen, are sinners saved by grace. And all of us, amen, have got weaknesses. Amen. All of us have come through things. All of us have been delivered by something, from something, by God when we came to an altar of repentance. And just because that you were filled with the Holy Ghost does not mean that you will ever be confronted and tempted by the spirits of those of the world again. If you came in an alcoholic, I promise you that when that spirit, amen, was whether it be through oppression or possession, amen, that walking through dry places, he is going to return again. Amen. And he's going to find you full or empty. And so it behooves you to stay full of the Holy Ghost. You've got to stay prayed up. You've got to stay, amen, close to Jesus. You've got to stay, amen, under the umbrella of the shepherd. Don't be caught out wandering around without the Spirit of God, amen, or on empty, that the devil would be able to take over you. And I'll get to this, but there is a lot that comes way before any of this comes. Amen. But I'm just stating here today that it is imperative, important, essential that we stay full of the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen, amen. I remember a backslider that I am well acquainted with, and he was in and out of church. And when he was in church, Brother Worths, he was probably the most praying man, one of the most praying men that I know. I remember when he called me up one day and said that he would like to come to the church and pray. And I went to the church and I let him in, and he came and he began to pray. He was a backslider. And as he began to pray, he sought God and sought God and sought God. We stayed there for well over an hour, and he left, and he called me the next day and said, I want to go back to church. Amen. And he prayed. That was probably on a Tuesday. Amen. He showed up on Wednesday to church, back on Thursday praying, back on Friday praying, back on Saturday praying, at church on Sunday, back on Monday praying. Amen. But it was quite a period of time before God, he found that place in God that he was renewed in the Holy Ghost. And as long as he stayed praying, amen, he was almost untouchable. But you began to watch, and when he began to slip in prayer, when he began to not pray, I'm not saying you got to come to the church every day, but I promise you it's not going to hurt. Amen. But when he began to slip and he began to not show up and pray, when he began to disassociate himself and disconnect himself with the church, it wasn't long before he was back out there in the world. Amen. And some period of time would go by, and here he would come again. You've got to stay full of the Spirit of God. Amen. And I'm going to show that to you here today. Praise God. Amen. And so we see that not only spirits of possession, but we see spirits of oppression. Amen. Not necessarily spirits that possess an individual, but spirits that oppress an individual. That you just feel the pressure from him and the gloom that is there. And you just feel like you can't get out from under it. Beyond all of this, there are spirits of infirmity. Amen. That are sent to attack one's health. I believe I've made examples or made a reference to it in praying for an individual in a church that I pastored. And every time that we prayed for him, God healed him. And he was in the hospital, but before he could get out of the hospital, something else would happen. And we would pray for him, and God would heal him, but something else came up. And it was just like that, on and on and on. And on the way to the hospital one day, the Lord spoke to me and said, it's a spirit of
of infirmity. I went in and I prayed against the spirit of infirmity. And it was just a few days later that he was out of the hospital. Praise God. And so they disguise themselves, amen, in so many different ways. And so, but you've got to have the knowledge and the perception, amen, to be able to discern, amen, what you're battling and fighting. Praise God. In the Bible, we saw that there was the dumb that spoke after the spirit of infirmity was cast out. Others were delivered from seizures or epilepsy. A woman bowed over with the spirit of infirmity was delivered and was healed. But there is another echelon of demons that affects all of us. And this is simply called the buffeting spirits. Amen. It seems that there is an innumerable host of these types of spirits which we constantly deal with. Amen. For we see that Paul wrote of this in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. And he said that lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That word buffet simply means to rap or to strike with a clenched fist or hands. Amen. And so it is obvious that this messenger had access to Paul's mind and to Paul's emotions. Amen. And so I'm stating here today that you need to know your weakness and you need to guard them dearly. Amen. I said you need to know your weakness, and you need to stay as far away from that as you possibly can. For these are spirits that attack us continually, causing feelings of depression, anxiety, pride, lust, resentfulness, jealousy, rebellion, insecurity, doubt, fear, and the list goes on and on and on. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you are susceptible to depression, amen, don't hang out with depressing people. Don't hang out with people, amen, that are gloom and doom, that are just negative and have nothing positive to say. Amen. If you are susceptible to anxiety, amen, or jealousy as such, then you need to recognize that, and you need to stay as far away from that as you possibly can. And every time that you see, feel, or sense it trying to rise again, amen, you need to put the kibosh on it. Amen. And get it under the blood and get victory over it. Why? Because it's these spirits, amen, that have no other job. They just come, as Daniel said, to wear out the saints of the Most High. They're not there necessarily with temptations. They're not there to offer you the brown bottle. They're not there to offer you some foreign substance to inject into your body. They're there to just wear you down. They're there to just take their fist spiritually and just to beat you, to wrap you, amen, to cause you to feel overwhelmed. Amen. For that's what Daniel said, amen, in his book, that we would fight against these spirits, amen, that have come to wear out the saints of the Most High. Amen. Praise God. I'll say it again. They're not there to take over you. They're not there to overcome you. Amen. The purpose of them is just to wear you down. And when they've got you wore down, when they've got your mind frazzled, when they've got you spiritually weak, when they've got you spiritually depressed, when they've got you spiritually upset, then the next echelon is going to step in and do the dirty work. Amen. Offer the opportunities, offer the temptations. And so you've got to recognize this. You've got to understand this. I feel the Spirit of God in this place today. Hallelujah. There are times that husband and wife get cross one with another for absolutely no reason whatsoever at all. Amen. Just something triggers. Amen. It's these buffeting spirits that's working against family relationships, marital relationships. Amen. Things that are there. Husband and wives have got to recognize this. Amen. And push through this. Husbands and wives have got to unite in the spirit and to pray about this and to recognize recognize that we cannot give in to these things. Hey, friend, I know that there's a lot of times we give the devil too much credit. A lot of times it's just us. But friend, on the other time, amen, don't just think that these things are just unique, amen, or just ironic that it's happening. The devil is the most subtle beast of the entire field, and he knows what he's doing. He's got almost an eternity of doing it, and he's got a long resume of successful stories. His resume goes all the way back into the heavens when he was able to convince one third of the angels to go with him. Don't think that you are able to stand against him on your own. The Bible said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. But when you stand, stand with God. Stand in the will of God. Stand in the plan of God. Stand with the salvation of God. But stand. Oh, let's love the Lord today. Praise God, praise God. And so it is the individuals that backslide and sometimes wonder, I don't know how that I got here. But if you just stop and begin to think about it, you'll figure out exactly how you got there. Number one, you stop praying. Number two, you stop being involved in the services. Number three, you start hanging around the wrong people. Number four, you started contacting the wrong people. Number five, you started frequenting places that you ought not to have frequent. Amen. Start visiting websites. Amen. That are on the side. Amen. On the edge. But you begin to feel more and more comfortable. It's just those spirits. It's just those spirits trying to wear you down. Those spirits fighting against your mind. Those spirits, amen, hammering against you. Spirits of condemnation. Spirits of resentment. Spirits of failures of yesterday that's constantly just belittling you and pushing you down. And before you realize that you've entered into the valley of depression, feeling like you don't have anywhere to go, and so you start separating yourself. The United States of America has firmly stood and said, united we stand and divided we fall. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to separate you from the body. He wants to divide you away from the body. And when he can separate and divide you, then he's going to turn it over to somebody other than just a buffeting spirit. But there's going to come a spirit of temptation that's going to bring you all along the right vice. And before you can do it, you're too weak to overcome it, and you're going to fall prey to this. You've got to stand against these. Hallelujah! Oh, let's just take a little bit of time and pray right now. I feel the Lord wanting to do something. I feel a spirit of revelation wanting to come into this place. I feel the Spirit of God wanting to talk to us here today. We need to be spiritual. Amen. We're not going to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen. We're going to expose it. We're going to know what we're fighting against. We're going to know why we're coming up against this. And we're going to stand against it. We shall be victorious. You shall be victorious. You can overcome this. You are more than a conqueror through him that loved you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can be victorious. You can do this. You can make it all the way to heaven. Yes, you can. Hallelujah. Love him, love him, love him. Amen. Let me give you a few more examples here before we get in back to the text here and come to a close. But, amen, some of our words that we use in the Bible, in the English language, are used interspersedly. They go back and forth. They can mean one, they can mean multiple things. Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, for my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. That word vexed means to be possessed with a devil. And so she was vexed. In other words, she had a devil within her. Matthew chapter number 17. In verse number 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth in the fire and oftentimes in the water. That word vexed means to suffer. He was not necessarily possessed, but he was suffering from the spirits. In Luke 6 and 18, the Bible says, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, amen, they were healed. And that word vexed means to mob or to harass. These were buffeting spirits, not possessive spirits, but they were buffeting spirits. They that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. Praise God. Acts 15 and 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks with them. Amen. And them which were vexed with unclean spirits. This word means to mob and to harass. 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8. And delivered unto Lot, and delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation. Amen. That word vexed means to oppress, to wear down with toil. Amen. Oppressive spirits that vexed. Amen. It goes on to say, for that the righteous man dwelleth, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Amen. Vexed his soul, his righteous soul, means to torture in pain and to torment. Acts chapter number 10, verse number 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed, amen, of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. That word oppressed means to exercise dominion against. Amen. And so we see that the Word of God uses words interchangeably. Amen. Meaning whether to oppress, to buffet, or to possess. But nevertheless, they all have their importance there. Praise God. And so in our text today, we see that the Lord went across the Sea of Galilee, and he went over to the land of Gadara, and there were two that came out to him. I don't feel like getting into that, but basically one is much more stronger than the other. Amen. One holds rank over the other. The other, amen, is just a following individual. And so the status is given unto the one. And so we see that they run up to Jesus and they fall at his feet. We understand and know and claim and show that these were they that were possessed with a devil. Amen. But when we go into the town folk, when we go into that area and read the different areas that the Bible speaks concerning this story, we would see that the town folk, that the city members, that they were not possessed with the devil, but at the same time they were oppressed by the spirit that was running in the tombs. And really, in reality, not just oppressed, but also they were probably buffeted, amen, day in and day out. And so let me just paint a picture, amen, here for you this morning. We see that there is two, but we're going to talk about just the main one, the one. And we find a demoniac, as the Bible calls him, a man that is possessed with the legion of devils, a man tormented both day and night, and cannot get victory and deliverance over them whatsoever at all. We know that the town folk have tried to help him, a man that they have tried to bind him with fetters of chains and of irons, a man they have probably tried to reconstruct him. They have probably tried psychology. They have probably tried a timeout chair. I don't know. They have probably tried, amen, AA. Amen. I'm just throwing some things out there tonight, amen, so that you could understand and paint it in your picture. Amen. What I'm saying is they were trying everything that maybe government had to offer him. They were trying everything that humanity had to offer him. But at the same time, they could not help help him. I believe that this was an individual who wanted help. I do not believe that this is an individual who was happy. I do not believe that this was an individual who was content to live this life. Amen. Because the Bible said that he was in torment. Amen. Running day and night through the tombs naked. Amen. His nakedness, the badge of his shame. Amen. The badge of his condition. Amen. And so he was running through there and feeling like maybe this is the answer. And maybe these chains, though bound up, I won't be able to hurt anybody and myself. Being bound here in this place, I won't be able to do unruly things. I'll be able to control myself and get beyond this fit of rage. But when those spirits began to move within him and began to rile him up, the chains of irons began to break, and we find a man that is back in torment, screaming to the top of his lung. Amen. In the tormented condition that he is in. Amen. The Bible said, amen, and that by the foolishness of preaching, God chose to save, amen, believers. And so I'm probably going to look a little foolish to some of you tonight, but I want to paint a clear picture to you. We're looking at an individual, amen, who was not dressed in a suit and tie. An individual who did not look like he was happy at any time. But I'm looking at an individual who fretted the darkness coming on. I'm looking at an individual, amen, who resented the sun beginning to set upon the day. Amen. Because he knew that this was when it was going to happen. I can't keep myself. I can't resist. Amen. Here it comes again. I have no power over it. Amen. I just wish that it would go away. I wish that these spirits would just leave me alone. Amen. Just leave me alone. Amen. His tears began to flow down his face as he felt the spirits taking over him, and he fell to his knees, and in great agony he screamed to the top of his lungs. Oh yes, he did. And in the time, in the nighttime, down in that city, they heard, amen, the animal-like screams coming out from the man that was in the tombs. And the kids began to raise up from out of their bed and began to say, "Mama, Daddy," and mamas and daddies would get back out of the bed and they would go to the son to the kid's room and say, "It's going to be okay. Everything's fine. It's going to be okay." But what is he screaming for again? "Daddy, why does he act like that? Daddy, why is he always like that? Is there something that we can do?" And the wife was saying, "Honey, we got to do something to help that man. Amen. Look, he's tormenting us. We can't even sleep at night due to the screams and the agony. Amen. I thought that we bound him up today. I thought that we chained him up and put him somewhere. He must have broken loose out of it." And so all night long, while the candles burned dim, amen, there were daddies that were trying to protect their houses. There were daddies that were standing guard, not knowing if he was going to come in. The fear, the anguish that was there as they went from room to room and they looked out the windows thinking to themselves, "I just wish this would go away. I just wish one day he would just die. I just wish one day he'd just commit suicide and it would just be over. How long does this have to go on? How long do we have to be in torment?" Oh yeah, the thoughts. Let's pack our bags and let's move. Let's go find another place so we don't have to be under this oppression and this torment and this fear. All during the daytime, everybody was looking happy. They might have cut jokes, amen, and talked about the demoniac. But when the nighttime came, amen, when the nighttime came and the fear began to send down upon the city, amen, and the demoniac up in the tombs was there, amen, and stripped of his clothes. Maybe somebody tried to clothe him. Maybe somebody said, "You know what? If we give him a better foundation, if we give him something to be happy about, maybe he'll come out of it and maybe he'll be okay." But he rips his clothes off and he strips down naked and he's running in torment and he runs through the tombs and then he falls on his face and he's beating the ground and he jumps up like a wild man and he's just screaming, "Ah! Ah! And in doing so, the fear begins to tremble. Mamas and dads get back up again. And it's the same old thing again. Night after night. Day after day. Month after month. Year after year. It's torment. I just wish we could get past this. I just wish we could get through this. I just wish we could get over this. Mama's looking at daddy's and with pleading looks saying, when is this going to be over? When is it ever going to be finished? Will he be like this for the rest of his life? Amen. And husband's looking and saying, I just don't have the answer. I'm telling you, the picture that I have painted to you in this setting of scripture here this morning is more prevalent than we care to imagine. Because I believe that there are people that are the exact same way. Amen. With no shame. And they're tormented. Amen. By the things that they have done. They wake up every morning wondering, my God, what did I do last night? Where was I last night? When they wake up from some drunken stupor, wake up from some, amen, drug-infested night or even a week, and thinking to themselves, what have I done? Amen. Maybe even waking up in jail, amen, and trying to think to themselves, I don't even know everything that happened, but obviously something went wrong. Amen. I wonder how many people have woken up in the hospital, amen, and they see themselves. And they're busted up, broken bones, and cuts and bruises all over. And somewhere or another, they was in an accident due to drunk driving. Amen. And they were so severely intoxicated, they didn't know what was going on. And now they're there. I wonder how many people that contemplate suicide, amen, have stood in the very situation and just said, amen, will this ever stop? Is there ever hope? What can I do? Surely this isn't the answer. Surely there's something out there. Oh, friend, there's families out there today, amen, that are affected by the spirits of oppression, by the buffeting spirits of this world, beyond all of the immorality, amen, that's trying to be stuffed down our kids' throats in schools, amen, and everywhere else. And some people are just not comfortable with it, but every time they raise their voice, they're slapped back down, beat back down. Amen. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. And somehow or another, they're cowering from it, and they don't have an answer. I've got your answer today, and the answer is Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. We see that there was a woman that was at the well, and Jesus came to visit her. And when he got there, he sat down and he asked her for some water. And she said, sir, you have nothing to draw with. And this well is a deep well. And he said, woman, if you knew who you was talking to, you would ask of me for living water. And I would give it unto you, and you would never thirst again. And she looked at him and she said, tell me about this living water. Tell me about this. And he began to tell her of the demons of her past, of the marriages that she had had, that she was so excited about at one time, but they fell apart and they were busted. Not one, not two, not three. Every time she thought this is it, but here comes that demon again. And all of her dreams are shattered and crushed there. And she's sitting there. Amen. And Jesus went back and confronted the demons of her past. And when he did, she looked at him and she said, hold on a second. Let me go tell the city about this. And she went and she found the city and she told him, she said, come see a man that has told me everything that I faced. Come see a man that went back and visited all of my demons. A place that I'm not proud of. something that I'm very, very ashamed of. Amen. But there was a man that came and done something with it. And today I've got hope. And the whole city of Samaria began running out there and began to look for a man that was willing to confront some demons. And so Jesus, knowing that there is a man over there, he sets foot into the boat and he goes across into Gadara and he steps out onto the shore. And in being there upon that shore, here comes these demons running unto him. And these men fall at his feet. And they begin to say, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" And Jesus said, "No, I just come to visit you for here a little while." And they began to shake and began to tremble. When used to, it was the man that was shaking and trembling as the night came on. It was the town that was shaking and trembling when the night came on. But the demons fell to their knees and began to pay obeisance to the man. Amen. God manifests in the flesh. And they said, "If you're going to cast us out, then just throw us into those swine over there, pretty please." And Jesus said, "That'll be fine. But you get out of him." And when the town came back that day, they saw at the feet of Jesus a man that was clothed and in his right mind. Hey, city, I want you to know that there's not going to be any more sleepless nights. You're not going to have to sit there and say, amen, to calm down little Johnny and little Susie. You're not going to have to try, amen, to explain what's going on. There's not going to be any more oppression. There's not going to be any more fear and anxiety, amen, that has lived upon the face of this town. Why? Because Jesus has come to visit your demons. I know that there were some people that didn't want that, and they told Jesus to go on. But friend, there was a man that was sitting there that was more than pleased with the outcome. He looked at Jesus and he said, "Let me go with you. I want to follow after you. I want to tell people about you." And Jesus said, "Just stay right here and tell everybody around the good things that God has done for you."
Praise God. Let's stand this morning. I know I'm talking to people today. I'm talking to saints of God. I'm talking to people who need God. I'm one of them. I need him. Because you see, there are times when the devil comes knocking at my door. And he wants to drag up something from the past. He wants to drag up feelings. He wants to drag up emotions. He wants to take me back to the caverns of oppression. He wants to take me back to the valleys of depression. And he wants me to reside in those areas. Come. You're coming with me. And he drags me down memory's lane as he entices me and tries to pull me to the place that he can overwhelm me. And as my memory begins to flood back, and as those raw emotions began to come back over my mind, there are times that I think to myself, will it ever go away? Will it ever quit? Will I ever get past this? Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And Jesus begins to call me. Say, "Hey, don't trip over things that are behind you.
Let's come back here. In his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And God begins to remind me, I brought you out of those places. I brought you out of that situation. I brought you out of that. I brought you from that. You don't live there anymore. You don't live in that situation any longer. But the devil doesn't care. And here he comes back to your house, waving memories, regrets, condemnations. Yeah, you think that you're over it, but you remember this? You think that you're past that, but hey, I want you to know I haven't forgot that today. And so as you go through life, you find yourself in the valleys of decision, and you find yourself oppressed by that same thing over again. And you find yourself saying, I just wished I didn't have to deal with this anymore. I just wished I could get over this. There's a God that's come to deal with your demons today. Demons of regret, demons of shame, demons of fear, demons of anxiety, demons of condemnation, demons of weakness. And they come to try to exploit you. And you know why they're here? It's because there's been buffeting spirits. Buffeting spirits. Oh, we term it so lightly. It's just been a Monday all day. Oh, praise God. 5 Mondays and finally Saturday. And it's those demons just buffeting. And things just aren't going right. And the boss finds something. Seems like the boss is being extra picky on you. And you just feel like, I just can't win for losing. I don't know what's going on. It's those spirits buffeting you, wearing you down. Wearing you down, wearing you down. Wife is nagging. The husband's nagging. Kids are in bad moods. Everything's going on. It's those buffeting spirits. Tires flat, the car won't start, something breaks down. Buffeting spirits, just wearing you down. Just wearing you down. It's just the little things. It's just the little things. And then all of a sudden, there's that one peeking back in your window, finding it empty, garnished, clean. But he doesn't just come back in. He scoots away. And he finds 7 others worse than him. He says, come on. I'm paying redemption right now. And he comes in and it's worse than it was to begin with. Out of nowhere, you get that one phone call. Out of nowhere, that one friend just shows back up. Meet him in Walmart. Meet him at Sam's. Meet him in the grocery store. Meet him some. Hey, where have you been? You disappeared on me. And you're too weak because of those buffeting spirits. Just working against your mind. Paul said, I find another law warring against the law of my mind. There's a battle going on in my mind. And I find myself in meditation, meditating upon those things over and over. Can I just show you what the devil's doing? He's snickering. He's laughing. He's like, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Think about it some more. Think about it some more. And the sideline, he's like, I got him. I got him. I got him. But then you come to church. And Jesus comes to visit your past. Jesus comes to visit your present. Preparing for the future. Friend, today I'm talking to you today. I'm talking to more than one in this place today. Jesus
has come to visit your demons today. The things that you just can't seem to get past. The things that you seem to think to yourself, I finally got over it. And the next thing you know, you're looking up and you've been slammed by it. Jesus has come to visit that today.
But Jesus, I'm naked. I've torn all of my shame. I've got so much shame.
Come. Come. He's here. You can come fall at His feet today and find restoration. Find peace. You can find joy. You can find hope. You can find solace. You can find what you need today in Jesus. These altars are open here this morning. Would you come? Come on, Jesus has come. Jesus has come. Come on, don't think it's strange that the preacher just decided to preach this today. I didn't decide to preach anything. I searched and searched and searched and searched and tried to find something else, and this is all that would come. Why? Because Jesus said, I want to come visit somebody today. I want to come visit some issues. I want to come visit some raw feelings. I want to come visit some past problems. I want to come visit people. Why? Why? Because He loves you. That's why. Because He loves you. That's why. And Jesus said, I know exactly what's going on across this sea. And I know everybody that abides there. And so it's time that I go. It's time that I go face it. Jesus! Have you come to torment us before our time? Jesus said, no, no. I haven't even come for you. I came for this man. Why? 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 Because He loves you. That's why. That's why. David said, though I make my bed in hell, now I'm telling you, God knows exactly where you are. God knows the valleys that you walk through. God knows the mountains that you try to ascend. God knows the oceans that are in front of you. God knows the hardships. Everything that confronts you, God knows it. And God is saying, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come on, Jesus wants to talk about it right now. Jesus wants to help you right now. Jesus wants to deal with you right now. Come on, Jesus wants to fix some things right now. Jesus wants to heal the hurts of the past. Jesus wants to touch the situations of this week. Jesus wants to do something miraculous in your life. Would you reach out to Him? Come on, don't hold Him at arm's length, but embrace Him. Come on, embrace Him. Come on, it's time. It's time. Open up and embrace Him. He's here for you. This isn't just ironic. This isn't just happenstance. Jesus knew He was going to be here today.